You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Pronk Pop Show. This show probably will be short. I've said this in the past, but the adult supervision, and I'm already over the limit, said they're leaving sometime after 6. It's already after 6 o'clock. So I picked a story that is in the news. It's been in the news really the last 30 days and will be in the news all summer. And if you're traveling, I'd listen up. Because at some airports, it's not the entire nation. We've had problems. And what do you think the problem is? Yes, you're right. You guessed right. Got it the first time. You have very, very long lines going through security. The TSA officers that they hire are trying to do their jobs. They get paid fairly well, have benefits, and they're doing their jobs. But the problem is they're government employees. What they're trying to do, allegedly, is to make sure that terrorists don't abort your flight. And yes, most people would say, man, I don't want a terrorist on my flight. Let them do their jobs. The challenge is, though, for you and them, is when we enter the vacation season, which we are right now. For example, on Richland College last night was the graduation ceremony. Many people attended. And I'm sure some of those people are headed for home on airplanes or going back to their country of origin, wherever they came from, because we have a fairly high percentage of international students at Richland College. So if they can afford it, they go home for the summer, probably to work, and then come back in the fall. Some of you will probably stay at home. I will. I like to read, so I can read anywhere. And reading at home is just as good as any place else. Now, at one time, I did a lot of traveling. I was in the Air Force for over 5 years. I had two jobs that required me probably once, twice, sometimes almost once a week to travel from Dayton, Ohio, where Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is, to St. Louis, the airport there. Because that's where, at that time, McDonnell Douglas was building the F-15 fighter plane. So being a contract negotiator, price analyst, and then financial manager on the program, I would have to do a lot of traveling, primarily those two places, occasionally to California, also Connecticut, but primarily like 98% of my travel was going to St. Louis, staying over usually 2-3 days, and then turning around and coming back. So I did a lot of flying. I can remember one winter day where they actually were holding the plane for me. I was a little late, and I was the last one aboard, and I was met at the gate by the attorney and said, well, they have some delays, so I'm glad you made it, because if you wouldn't show up, I wasn't getting on the plane. I said, apologize, sir, but there was a traffic problem, and they were having some problems with the plane, but that's ancient history. And yes, I remember, this is a long time ago, this is before 911, this was in the 70s. There was some security. I would check my baggage in at the baggage counter. I would always carry my briefcase on board because I would do work both coming and going. But it really didn't delay me much. I had to allow some time to check in and some time for security. But it was nothing like after 911. Now, at one time, now this is when I was a kid, prior to people hijacking airlines. You might be surprised, but you could board an aircraft, for example, during hunting season and carry your rifle on board. All that changed after we had a number of people hijack jet passenger planes, mainly to Cuba or other points. Then the security increased, and obviously after 9-1-1, it really dramatically increased. But an important mistake was made, a big mistake, and the American people are definitely paying for that mistake today, and will go on paying for it until the powers that be, the two-party tyranny of the Democratic and Republican Party, decide, and I don't think they ever will. You see, it's very hard for human beings to admit they made a mistake. And the vote in the Senate establishing the Department of Homeland Security was 100-0. So they were all on the takeoff here of the establishment of the Department of Homeland Security. You see, we were panicking. Both parties' politicians were panicking because the American people, they made a mistake. They depended on the government, and they thought the government would never in their wildest dreams think that 9-1, what happened in New York City as well as at the Pentagon, would ever happen in this country. That terrorists could get aboard several, four regularly scheduled airlines, go through security, and then take over the plane with box cutters? So after 9-1-1 and the Department of Homeland Security was established, we got what's called the Transportation Security Administration, TSA. Some call it, and I'm one that does, thousands standing around. Well, they are standing around, but they are working. Checking to make sure you don't smuggle in as perfume or liquids, bombs. And to be fair to them, that is a legitimate concern. And they'll check your shoes. You got to take your shoes off. And they'll check your computer. I have purposely avoided traveling on airlines ever since 9-1-1. Not because I was scared of terrorists. I simply knew and avoid lines. I don't like lines. I don't like waiting. And I especially don't like the security measures. Because it's theater, folks. It's theater. And what do I mean by that? El Al is the national airline of Israel, and they are targeted. Terrorists would love to blow up an El Al airliner over Israel, and they're trying. But you see, El Al, or their security department, they don't handle it the way the United States does, and they've been very, very successful. They profile people, and that's part of their procedure, but they ask questions. Because most of the people, like over 99%, have a legitimate reason for traveling from wherever they're taking off to wherever they're landing. In a few short questions, you quickly determine that they're not a terrorist. Some would say it's common sense. I think it is common sense. But you got to ask the questions. You got to have professionally trained people to do it. You got to screen people. But it's not having people take off their clothes, their belts, or being felt up, frisk, whatever, however you like to describe it. Especially children, grandmothers, people with in wheelchairs. Yeah, you have to ask questions, and yeah, the terrorists will use children, but we rely on technology. That's one of the things that is probably both our advantage, but really a disadvantage. We too much rely on technology, both in our military and in security. The problem is technology fails. Technology, in this case, gives you a lot of false positives. A little common sense, asking a few penetrating questions that, depending on the answers, either you pass them through or you ask some more until you're satisfied that they're not a terrorist. Part of the problem is how we're going about it, but another part is who has the most interest here. Now, you might say the passengers, and I would agree with you, because if I were going to fly, I drive now, or if someone has a private plane, I'll take that. I'm not going to go through security and board an airline. Doesn't matter to me because, like I said, my life is fairly straightforward. I can travel all around the world by just picking up a book, opening it, and reading. Both go back in time, forward in time, go all over the world, and learn a lot more than just being a visitor or a tourist. That is somewhat limiting, but we do have the internet today. So technologies have advanced. Now, for most college students today, they see computers as a computer screen, a keyboard, or a smartphone. I'm going to really date myself. I'm not going to tell you exactly when, but when I went through college, we had computers, but there were no screen. And we had a keyboard, but it was really a key punch machine that would punch holes in what was called then an IBM card. It's a cardboard card. And if you want the computer to do anything, you had to write a program, type it in, the program and the data, then give that deck of cards to the computer operator that, or you dropped it in like a box. And then when they got around to it, they scheduled jobs. It was all batch processing. They would run your program and then you get a deck of cards back. Wasn't very exciting. And at that time, the big challenge was the cards. The cards were driving people crazy because you had to keep the cards and store the cards. Imagine running a huge business. Now, about that time, tape came in, their different medium. And then fast forward about 20 years to about the mid-80s, you had the personal computer. And now we're watching video, YouTube videos, and can get information from all around the world. So in roughly 50-year period, technology has dramatically changed, and that's all to the good. And many people rely on it. I rely on it. I couldn't do this radio show today without preparing. And that meant I had to go online and look at articles, look at photographs, look at YouTube videos. And it took me a couple of hours, but I'm rather fast. I've done this quite a while, so I know how to get information. I'm a very good researcher and gathering information and synthesizing that information. It's like putting a puzzle together, getting bits and pieces of a puzzle and try to put it in perspective. So the problem at various airports, especially large city airports, are the lines. And I didn't know when I came in what show I was going to do. I really didn't. And I have in the past done a show on the TSA and the machines that they were using. That's not what this show is about. But what got my attention? Now, normally I would play an audio clip, but it's not going to be very useful. But I'm going to point out it's at the very top. And I encourage you to watch this video. It lasts a little over 2.5 minutes. And this was a passenger that had a cell phone. I believe it was a cell phone. A smartphone, but it could have been a camera. He started at where the TSA actually checks you out, asks you some questions, look for the ID, whatever they do. He started at the beginning or the end of the line and then walked back. And this was an amazing video. Even I knew what it was about. What stunned me was the length of the line. And again, this video has gone viral. I can't give you the whole title. It's TSA RUF. You know what's coming. Kidding me? Now, I wish he had cleaned it up, but his point was well made. And yes, you run into situations where you have what's called a queuing problem. And that's usually the situation where a lot of flights are taking off at the same time. So back up a couple of hours and people are coming to the airport and they're planning ahead, getting to the airport early. Some may be late, and then they're hit with these long lines. And this is one of the longest lines I've ever seen. And I think many people, especially if they're not frequent flyers, would be stunned at the length of it. I think many people would panic. It went on and on and on. So if you want to watch it, you can see it on YouTube. Or you can go to my companion blog for this show, which is promptpops.wordpress.com. And it's the very, very first video. I have a photograph of the line, but right below it, I have the video. And this is getting a lot of attention. Now, this is not a new story. It's just apparently he took the time and made the effort. I hope his flight was several hours in the future. That's probably why he did it. You know, I suspect he probably was going to go for a coffee or something and said, well, you know, I got some hours to kill, but let me first check how long this line is so I can plan accordingly. So he went from the beginning to the end, and it took him over 2 minutes, but it's amazing, folks. And the line was moving. I'm not being critical there, but it never should have gotten this long. There's something fundamentally wrong here. But apparently this is happening throughout the United States. And it happens where you have a lot of people traveling, and that is the situation in the summer. People are going on their vacation. And this is a big warning or shout out. Get to the airport early and get through security. Remember, you have to get through security before you even check your bags. And most people are carrying a backpack on their backs. You know, some people are with suitcases. This is ridiculous. Now, here's what I'm leading up to, and here's where I think the government made a big mistake. Who has the most interest in security and making sure that a terrorist doesn't get on the flight? The airlines. Those jets are expensive. Tens of millions, not billions, millions of dollars. I've lost track, but a new Boeing 747 is not a new aircraft, but one of the newer Boeings, probably $100 million would be my guess, at least. They're not cheap. And the last thing they want is a terrorist to get on and blow that jet out of the air. Yeah, they'll lose the aircraft, the pilots. That's a big investment. And then they'll get sued by all the passengers. You see, if someone is in the marketplace selling a good or service, and they're honest and reputable and trying to do right by people and want repeat customers, they want security. But they also want to make sure that their passengers are not inconvenienced. And they are being inconvenienced because today, airline as well as airport security is primarily done by a government agency, the Transportation Security Agency. It's not going to get any better. And oh yes, you can fire the bureaucrat in charge. And they've already done that. Not too long ago, they ran an inspectioner test. And they had people with weapons, guns primarily. I forget the exact number, but about 95-96% of the time, they didn't find the guns. A couple of times they did, but usually they simply didn't find the weapons. They could have been knives as well. And they, in other words, the Department of Homeland Security, the TSA, Transportation Security Agency, flunked. They almost got a zero. Not quite, but they're very close to a zero. Now, what is their primary mission here? To prevent terrorists boarding aircraft with weapons. And yeah, they frisk you, they do a body scan. So people are hiding that ran the test, these weapons, broke them down, and the people looking at the image couldn't spot it. This does not inspire confidence. Maybe now you're reconsidering your plan to Europe. I didn't mean to do that, but maybe it's a good idea. See America first. Go by car or bus, or take a train. I have some bad news. They're seriously considering expanding their scope of TSA to trucks and our highways. Please don't. I don't think that's practical. I think it's rather foolish, but I understand their point. Terrorists could be using trucks to smuggle explosives. Yeah, I get it. I truly do get it. Do you have any idea how many trucks are moving on the highways every day? You can't suddenly impede commerce, and that's what we're talking about here. Some people have their heads you know where. They lack common sense. So I wanted to warn you. You better allow a lot of time if you're taking an airline flight. Even when we had none of this security, I would try to get to the airport about an hour before because I knew it would take a little time for check-in and there's lines. And then you got to walk to the place where you board the plane and check in. That's just common sense. Now, if it's the first time you fly and think you could show up 5 minutes later and you're going to board the plane, no, you're not. You're probably going to lose some money because you're going to miss the plane. And yes, I used to fly a small private plane, a Cessna 150. I had ambitions at that time I'll give you the end of the story first. I was thinking about becoming an airline pilot. I wasn't a pilot in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force, but I wasn't a pilot. But I said, well, I'm going to be in the Air Force for a couple of years. Why don't I take flying lessons, which I did, and ultimately get first my private license, my instrument license, my commercial license, and then the ATR, the airline license. It never happened. Now, I had over 100 hours, but every time I scheduled an exam, I'd be weathered out. It'd be either snowing or the winds were too high, and my FAA examiner say, sorry, can't fly today. Well, that happened about 3 or 4 times. I forget exactly how many. And to make a long story short, I stopped. I got busy in my job. And it was costing me money, folks. It was costing me time and money, but I was motivated. But eventually, I had other higher priorities. I'm telling you this, so I have a little, and I emphasize little experience flying on my own in a small plane. Not an airliner, not a jet, a single prop, a Cessna 150. I think they're still around. They're small tricycle type landing gear, fixed wing. And I enjoyed it, had fun, but it takes time. It takes planning, and it costs money. And although I was an officer in the Air Force, I wasn't making a lot of money. And the Air Force was not paying for this other than paying my salary. I always, not say cheated, but I had a lot of friends that were Air Force pilots. The Air Force trained them. And I was kidding them. You know, I said, the Air Force trained you. You didn't have to pay for it, but I have to pay for what I'm doing. They would always laugh. But you see, I asked them one day, and this is what really changed my mind. I said, well, how many hours a month do we have to fly to be proficient? Give me the minimum, but I want to be proficient. At least 15 hours. Ideally, a couple of hours a day, but a minimum for 30 days, at least 15, preferably 30 hours. Well, I wasn't flying 30 hours a month. On a good month, I maybe got to 15. And in the summer, the weather was usually good. But in the winter, that was the problem. So I said, I had to make a decision. I said, listen, I want to be a good pilot, but I want to be proficient. I don't want to hurt myself or anybody else. There's no way I can consistently do 15 hours a month, and that's the minimum. I certainly can't pay for 30. And I mainly flew Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Late Friday afternoon after work, and then Saturdays and Sundays. Or when I was on vacation, I could fly. So I gave it up. I'm telling you this because I'm sensitive to the fact that you're relying on that pilot. And if that pilot is any way interfered with, especially on a jet airliner, you have a problem. You see, the best thing that the government did after 9-1-1 is made the pilot space, the cockpit, secure, reinforced, so it would be very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult for terrorists to get in. And that's important. You see, I'm not criticizing the government for everything they do. Some things they actually get right. Now, this was not a hard decision here. However, that meant every airliner had to be retrofitted. That's cost the airlines a lot of money. And the airlines went along with it, but kicking and screaming. I haven't flown after 9-1-1. It's been many years. I flew in the 90s, but not much. I'm saying that, what if you're a business person and have to fly every week or every month several times? Like, that was my situation when I was in the Air Force. That's why I brought it up. And you have to go through this security procedure, both going and coming. It's ridiculous, folks, especially if you're taking off and landing in major cities, which the majority of travel was too. There's some places where this is not a problem. I understand that. But if you're flying to Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, Fort Worth, where I am, you already know this. Allow plenty of time, and then you have to deal with the locks, what you can have in your luggage, no liquids, even I know that. And yes, if you're a frequent flyer, you can get an ID, so it helps you expedite that process, but you still got to get in line, that's my point. So you get up to the TSA officer and present your ID information, and you're expedited through. But what's happening is members of Congress, senators, congressmen, have to put up with this. And what do you think they're getting a lot of phone calls on? Yes, you guessed right. People are really complaining about what's happening at the airports and the long lines to get through the TSA security check. I would call this government failure. An example of government failure. Oh, yes, they've done some things right, secured the cockpit. And I would think, even though it's expensive to do, especially in older aircraft, and it costs money, remember, it's not charities. These airlines were hard hit after 9-1-1. And many people, like me, stopped traveling altogether. The people that had to travel were primarily businessmen and women. Many of your large corporations could afford corporate jets, so they wouldn't have to mess with this. But that's the exception. It's not the rule. Most business people, especially small business people or mid-level management, yeah, at best, they're traveling business. Most of them are traveling coach. And most corporations are not going to fly you first class. A few times, I actually was in first class, but I didn't pay for it. You know why? I was in uniform, and the flight, they used to be called stewardess. They're not called that anymore. But the stewardess would say, lieutenant or captain, we have some space in first class. Would you like to move up? I said, fine with me. I'm not going to argue. But those are the few times I would fly first class. Now, they were nice to me because I travel a lot. And after a while, I get to know who you are, and you get to know who the flight attendants are if you travel a lot. Obviously, if you're a celebrity, they'll do that. But that was my one or two times in first class. We need to really reconsider and give the airlines the responsibility for security, the airport and the airlines. They have the most to lose if we do have another successful terrorist attack. And they're in the business where they know if they inconvenience passengers and don't do this in an efficient manner, in a common sense manner, they're going to suffer because they'll find airlines, if they can, that do. Remember, it gets back to competition, folks. Competition is good. See, government doesn't like competition. They like monopolies. They want to control it and make you dependent upon it. The strength of the free market capitalist system is competition. That's why you get better and cheaper products, quality service, and yes, secure airplanes and airports. If you leave it to the government, you see what happens. See, the signs of failure are, yes, the long lines, but also the fact that people have gotten through security with weapons successfully when they were inspected and they flunked it. And yes, the number of people carrying weapons today has actually gone up. I didn't put the statistics in, but for various reasons today, people fly with weapons. Sometimes they just simply forget. I can understand that. And many people, for example, in most all states today can have concealed carry. And sometimes in the rush to go to the airport, you have it. Most of the time, you're going to be caught. Now, if you actually do conceal it, and probably some people do, they think they can break it apart and separate it and not get caught. Well, they're going to get caught, but not all the time. We need to stop the aggravation of the American people. The American people are very, very patient, but there is a breaking point, and the American people are getting very, very angry at the government. They don't see our representatives and senators being very responsive to their concerns that they have. It's not that they don't believe in security. They do. They want to fly safely. They certainly don't want to be on that jet that flies into a building. So it's not a question of eliminating security. Let me make that very clear. It's a question of how much it costs, as well as how effective and efficient they do the job. And more airports are opting out of having TSA or federal government, that's what we're talking about, government security. We need that competition. Now, does the government like that? No. It's time for the Senate and our House representatives to not only reconsider the function of the TSA in providing security, but seriously encourage airports and your airlines to take on that responsibility, take it back. And I know if this problem gets much worse and people are getting mad because they miss their flights, ultimately what happens? You come to the airport, you allow more than enough time, but the lines are long and you miss your flight and you're out money. The airline is dealing with a very upset customer, and they should be upset. There's no reason this is happening. No reason at all, except it's run by the government. It's accountability. And this is not a criticism, although it could be, of the people doing their jobs. They're primarily dedicated to doing their jobs, but it's not. The problem is with the system, how they're doing, how they're going about it. And that's why I included a video on how Israel does. Actually, a couple of videos. And they're very, very successful at it. One of the videos is called Flawless Airline Security on Israeli plane. I hope our representatives are listening. I don't know how they cannot be listening, because to some extent they face this problem personally. Occasionally you'll see videos of a senator or a congressman being inconvenienced and missing the flight. Doesn't happen that often, but when it does, if it's going to get some press, it will. You see, I was always against, from the very beginning, having the government do this. I said the next step, they'll have a union. I think they do. I'm not sure of that. And the costs will go up, and the benefits will go up. And I have no problem with people having good benefit plans. But you're dealing with government agencies. You're dealing with something that can and is handled by the private sector very well. Thank you very much. Now, if the airlines can push it off to the government, and that's what they were doing, and they were successful, they will. But let me pose a question to them. And I bet there are millions of people out there, not only in the United States, but in the world, that have said, I'm not putting up with this. I'll either drive, take a private plane, maybe fly myself, maybe go by bus or train, however way possible to avoid this entire mess. I used to be in sales and was on the road every day, some of it out of town. I don't particularly like traveling, but you have to put up with it. That's what you want to do. That's what you have to do. But a lot more people don't have to put up with it. They can stay home or make other arrangements. This is just one more example of what happens when you have a big government, a government that's really less and less responsible to the people, not listening to the people, and even when they listen, not responding to the people, think they know best. And more people have come to the conclusion, just like Ronald Reagan did, government is the problem. It's not the solution, it's the problem. And that's the problem with TSA and the long airport line. Do I think it's going to be corrected anytime soon? Not this summer. Oh, they'll probably authorize some more overtime. And I'm sure the people that get it will like it. Those that want overtime. That's more money in their paycheck. But a lot of this could be avoided if you look at what's wrong here. Are we really stopping terrorists? Or maybe the terrorists are looking for easier targets. In other words, they more or less assume that airlines that were at one time easy targets are no longer easy targets because they can't get in the cockpit. That's what's the key thing here is. Oh yeah, they could kill all the passengers, but if they can't get in the cockpit, they can't fly it into a building. Now, I'll quickly say they can blow up the plane. That's why you need security. I'm not arguing against security. I'm for security that works, not going through the motions, and try to give the American public a false sense, and it truly is a false sense, that they're really stopping terrorists from going on that plane with a bomb. They're not. They're not. Because one of the weaknesses of the current system is, oh yeah, we're checking the passengers, but a lot of people work at airports, loading baggage, for example, or loading fuel. In other words, there are a lot of airport employees and catering. You see, if terrorists really wanted to blow an airliner out of the sky, and that has happened recently, they were successful doing it, and people died. You see, and this is often quoted, the terrorists just have to find that weak spot and succeed once. If you're in security, you gotta stop everything, all the security holes. Too much focus, unfortunately, is on the passengers. And even there, it hasn't succeeded because of that test that was run that showed that for all practical purposes, if it were a terrorist trying to smuggle a weapon, they could. Doesn't give me a warm feeling. And then when you look at the recent Middle East explosion of a Russian airliner, someone snuck that bomb on the plane. It didn't get there by accident. Now, who knows whether it was a passenger or whether it was in the luggage, how it got on. And yes, private security is better, but they're not perfect either. There's no magic answer here. But the taxpayers are paying a lot of money. And are they getting their money's worth? And I would say, I don't think so. They're putting up with a lot of inconvenience, aggravation. And are they really secure? They have a false sense that they're secure. And yes, this is getting a lot of play in the news. Big media is covering it. The American people should be outraged and not stand for this. They should be screaming, pounding the table, getting aggravated, not at the airport, but at their representatives in Congress. And our representatives should be all over the Department of Homeland Security and TSA. That's one response. Another response is say, enough is enough. This is not working according to plan. TSA, Department of Homeland Security, is overreaching. They're not really following and respecting the rights of the American people. You see, what we have to stop is this two-party tyranny that allows this to go on. It's not only in this area, but invading our privacy. What I'm talking about is the Fourth Amendment here. Our privacy is being invaded. And they're also pushing a national ID card and forcing states to make sure that their driver's license complies with it. Now, for various reasons, I'm against that. And that's a separate show. See, what the government is doing is taking your freedoms and liberties. And there's a very sensitive balance between our liberties and freedoms and security. I think, however, that we're well beyond the point. And remember, 9-1-1 was 15 years ago. 15 years ago this September. And terrorists will adjust. And they're recruiting people that live in your community. And they may use airlines, they could use private planes, they could use trucks. What we're talking about is how do you deliver an explosive bomb device and kill people? That's what they're about, instilling fear in you. So I pose the question before I close the show, who's won? Who has won? I have a number of cartoons. If you go to my website, promptpops.wordpress.com, it's a cartoon of a bunch of terrorists laughing their heads off. No fluids, no gels, no nail clippers, no joking. Full body scans, enhanced pat-downs. We won! We won! Unfortunately, that cartoon is right on the money. The terrorists have won, and our representatives and government have let them win. So enjoy your vacation. If you're traveling on an airline, especially if you're traveling from Dallas-Fort Worth, allow at least 2 to 3 hours minimum before your flight is scheduled, because you're probably going to run into lines. And if you're not, take a book with you, stop in a coffee shop, watch the crowd, and then board the plane at your leisure and have a good trip. Thank you for listening, and now America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.